Live.
Hello, everybody. This is United Public Radio Network, and it is the 28th of April. You are listening to the Supernatural Substation with my co-host Bernadine LeBlanc.
Hello.
Hello, in Lafayette or in Abbeville, and me, Aline Pistanino, and you're listening to it on the United Public Radio Network, and you can listen also on Pal Talk. That would be www.paltalk.com. So here we are again, and it really seemed like a long month, but and that's why I was asking you, Bernadine, earlier, was like, how many guests did we have? Because 30 days really seemed like August or something. It was really long. So, but we only had a couple of guests actually in this month. And so what we're going to do, what is something that we introduced a couple of months ago, and we're just going to kind of expand on some of the subjects that we that I just brought up and that they were talking about, and then just do some other stuff like some paranormal news. And we're going to keep it doing it once a month, so because we don't always get to say our thoughts about whatever's going on, whatever the subject matter is. So let people know we're on Spreaker. Yes, we're on Spreaker, Spreaker.com, Spreaker. He said thank you. You're welcome, Joe. Thank you. So anyway, so who did we have, Dean? What's going on?
We had Ken and Farrah Deal, demonologists. We also had Lynn Buchanan with remote viewing.
Oh, he was cool. Yeah. I
He
mean, so was Ken, but I mean, I was like, yeah, he was cool.
wrote the book The Seventh Sense.
Yeah, I got to get that because he really brought up some interesting stuff. Yeah, I mean, seen through wall type stuff, so I knew that, I remembered Ken and Deal, Ken and Farrah, and I was thinking about it. And everybody, and I know you and I have talked about it, this demonology thing, it sometimes it makes me want to just climb a wall, and get on the top and shout about it. The deals aside, and I know you see this too. It's like everybody and their brother, if they're not a sensitive, quote unquote, or an empath, then they're a demonologist, right? How many? I've never seen a time, right?
They're coming out of the woodwork like roaches, I could tell you that.
Right, they're a demonologist. So I looked. I have this dictionary from, and let's see, it's 1934, right, on a copyright. So I went in and I looked and I was looking up demonology. And this is the definition. Now, and we're talking over 70 years ago, right? The branch of learning concerned with demons or the description of popular beliefs in demons, also belief in or theory of demons. So it was, like a school subject, an area of concentration that primarily the clerics of the church, the Roman Catholic Church used to do, and it was studying demons. And I don't know how, and I guess, I mean, obviously centuries, but I don't know how these people that run around and call themselves demonologists don't realize. I mean, it's almost oxymoronic, If I say I'm a demonologist, I'm saying I study them, right? And I happen to study them, but I'm not going to run around calling myself a demonologist because, in the purest definition of the word, demonologists don't cleansings, they don't do exorcisms, they don't do investigations, they don't make promises they can't keep, they don't get all of this attention. They don't get a certificate or anything or a plastic seal or whatever from some school teaching demonology. So, and I hate the phenomenon.
I'm
I don't
sure
know.
that'll be next, the
Well,
School
there
of
are.
Demonology.
Yeah. Well, there are some little, I don't know, the way, background noise. My dog's barking. He's speaking of demons. There are these little, on the fringe type, organizations that'll give people, any sort of certification they want in something. And I would suppose that anybody who says I'm a demonologist and look, here's my certificate, you should probably run away from, you know, if you're in need of a demonologist, you know, then you're in need of a guy who knows a lot about it, but who's not going to risk his life in, you know, the pursuit of trying to pretend that he, you know, pretend that he knows something that he doesn't, right?
Yeah, I'm sure the demons out there are picking and choosing who they're going to get next.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. I mean, you and I know people, I'm not going to name any names, who, like, we see them, you know, 1 year, okay, and go back and we see them a year later, and now they're calling themselves demonologists. They're, you know, and it's dangerous because they're putting themselves into, they're trying to live up to something that they have no idea about the real meaning of the word. What they really are posing as is a priest or an exorcist, you know? And someone like Sarchi, okay, Ralph Sarchi, I kind of go back to him because he really is one of the best. He said that you could say he's a demonologist because he studies demons, but he will not demons, but he does not call himself an exorcist. So there's that little gray area. But if you're calling yourself a demonologist and you're not studying about demons, then, you know, again, you need to get a different hobby, you know, because this stuff is just, it's just too much, you know, yeah. And it will cause problems.
That's pretty much a hobby for life if you start that.
Now, I heard another show, this was a few years ago, and there was a woman who pretty much had the same sentiment. And, you know, I listened to the interview, and she was like, oh, these people don't know what they're talking about, and she's pretty much saying the same thing. And then at the end of it, she was like, but you could call us because we know. We know what we're doing. You know, don't believe just anybody's a demonologist. You can call us. Who are you going to call? We're the Ghostbusters you should call, because I'm an empath. I'm a sensitive. I'm a medium. We have a demonologist. Jeez. You know, it's like, I don't know. I don't know. But demonologists of the church, let's say in the Middle Ages, the church, the lower clerics, the ones that did, and the monks that did all of like the transcribing and stuff, but the lower clerics that were keeping the records of the church and all, up into like deacons and stuff like that. And even, yeah, priests. I mean, if you were looking for an exorcist, you were going to the church. If you were looking for a necromancer, you were going to the church, you know. And they, in fact, the amount of study they did on demons far outpaces the study that they did of angels. Because it's just a gift, I guess, that keeps on giving. They wanted to know more and more and more about it. And so we actually do have a lot more, and we have names of demons, and we have all kinds of others, because so much study was put into it, you know? So it's a dangerous thing. And I think Ken and Farah kind of talked about this, if I'm correct, right? They talked a little bit about people posing.
Right, and the dangers of it.
Yeah, the dangers to the people that you're allegedly trying to help. You know, I just got to laugh because, you know, I mean, you heard on an EVP, the thing that was, that is holding on to that man, you know, we usually talk about, we don't name him. And it kind of made you run out into the sunshine, right?
So, sure did.
So your next case, you weren't like, oh, I'm a demonologist, you know, and you had, look.
I've never. When people email me with stuff like that, you know, I tell them up front, I don't do demons. I'm sorry.
Right.
I can bring my team, get you evidence of what you already have. But mm-hmm. if you're telling me you have a demon and you really feel that way, I'll put you in contact with someone, you know,
right.
that has the training for that, that I believe in, you know, that could possibly help them. But I always tell them, we don't do that. You know,
no.
Call your church. And I think a lot of this goes on. I mean, I'm not sure, but I would guess that with all the people that email me and they all say it's a demon, you know, if all these people go and say these things at their church, I mean, how would the church go about helping all these people? Because a lot of them tell me the church have turned them down. But I mean, maybe the church might think they're just nuts. Because that's what they tell me. People think I'm nuts.
Well, and then, I mean, it's because it's, even under the best of circumstances, it's really difficult to prove. And it sometimes it takes a group of people, including mental health specialists and everything, you know, months or even years sometimes to determine, you know, to rule out, you know, what this is, you know, what this could be, you know, like, could this be mental illness? Could it be, you know, something, I don't know, genetic or whatever. So you rule all of the medical or the, you know, the physical and neurological things out. And it's a process, you know, it's a lot of people think, you know, demonologists show up like, what you call it, Father Marin in The Exorcist, you know, it's all this, the power of Christ compels you and all. And, you know, that's weird because it has a little bit of a sick appeal to people. And I noticed it closer to when that movie was released, that a lot more people were talking about demons and what they would do and how badass they were going to be. And they would be like that priest and, you know, and it has like a, almost that's the lure of it. That's what real demonologists, quote unquote, warn people about, is that it can bring you in that way. Oh, you think you're such a badass, and bing, you know, we got another spirit. You know, oh, there we go, we got another one, because these people are so stupid. So it's just, it's incredibly, I guess it would be conceited or arrogant for someone to say, you know, oh, I know all about demons, so I'm going to come in your house and say a bunch of prayers and throw some, you know, holy water around like I see on TV, and it'll be fine, you know.
Yeah, because, and we do know that, you know, in a demonic, you know, case, you know, if it is a true demonic case, that demon is attached to that person because he wants a soul. So yeah. If you bring in people throwing holy water on and doing all this, you know, stuff that the people do not know what they're doing, it's just going to piss that demon off worse and harm that person worse, you know, because you're treading on the demon's territory, actually.
Yeah. And, you know, they have a, being the demons, they have exhibited a sick sense of humor, and I know you know this. I was talking with someone about how you know, people will do all that, you know, call themselves demonologists, go in there like a priest, acting like a priest, and then it appears that they actually did something good, because the entities, and, you know, again, determining whether they are, but if they're real demons, they can withdraw, you know, for up to a year, you know, or you know, months or weeks, depending on, and you'll think, you'd be in the person who called in these people to help, you'll think everything's hunky-dory, and then one day they come back, and then that's when they start, you know, dragging you all around because you had the audacity, you know, to bring in some clown who just, like you just said, pisses them off, you know, and it's worse for the person. It's worse for the person that's experienced it. It's so, you know, I mean, we always sound like I said, we sound like two old curmudgeons, but seriously, you're right. The soul, I mean, they pull that soul the whole time they're in the body. You know, they take the spirit. If they're able to be in there until that person dies, they are the ones that get that spirit.
It's a slow process. People think, you know, they can just get possessed overnight. It's not that way.
No, and some people, with some people, it starts so young that all you do is you think, well, you know, that's their personality. And then it begins to manifest. Or they begin to tell you, you know, I'm seeing things, or something's telling me to do whatever. And then you go off into the mental health thing. If, you know, if you're following the right way that you're supposed to do. But people see on TV, and you and I have talked about this too, you know, it comes in your living room, you're watching TV like every week, like right now, you know, Destination America is just solid paranormal. I mean, they don't show anything else. And they should just call themselves Destination Paranormal. But everything is on there, you know, all the other shows. And, they're showing them, and then some of them have new seasons and everything. You know, so people sit in their living room, and, you know, they're in point A, and they think they need help, and they go all the way across this big gulf of, and then they get to, like, point B would be calling in some of these people, you know, a team, right? A team that is not as smart as yours or not run by somebody as smart as you. And they've skipped all of these.
You.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, yeah, because you kick ass. That's right. And she'll kick your ass out. Any of that foolish stuff.
Literally, yeah.
But yeah, well, but you have so many years, and then you get these people that are like, you know, they're let's say 26 years old. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, if there was a school, where's your certificate? But there's not. So you're 26, you know, you kind of just figured out who you are. So what makes me believe that you can deal with this adult situation? Because in the end, it's an adult situation. It could be a kid that's possessed, but it's got to be handled by the grown-ups. So you get, you know, all and we have talked about that too, because all this paranormal exposure of the paranormal and the this and the that, it's created a mushroom blooms of people just.
Oh yeah, I get people all the time, and they're like you say, 26 or younger, mm-hmm. you know, and they're all like, let me be on your team. I want to be on your team. I promise I'll do good, and I won't say anything. And I'm not supposed to talk on EVPs and blah 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 blah. Everything they see on TV, and I'm like, no, no, and no. Go mm-hmm. and get your life started. You may want to have kids one day. And if you get into this early, I can tell you right now from experience, because I've been in it so long, it does affect your child.
Yeah.
One
definitely.
Way or another, you know, mm-hmm. they are the innocent, and that's what, you know, bad spirits are prey upon. And mm-hmm. if you go into all these places, and especially people who go in and provoke,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. it There's may be in your back seat coming home with you.
Yeah, and they should be, because that's it should follow them home. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but in a lot of times they really need the eye opener of, you know, hey, who are you know, you're like on there like Zach Bagans in the early part of whatever, you know, Ghost Adventures, yelling and screaming at these things, you know, or. Today I was watching, of course, Destination America, because there wasn't anything else on. And I play this, it's like on in the background, but sometimes I do the same thing with Cops. Like, I've seen all of them like 100 times, but, you know, it's just background noise while I'm doing other stuff. And it was these guys, what is it? The show is Ghost Asylum. So it's a whole group from Tennessee, mm-hmm. and they were at Waverly Hills. And they've got one guy by himself, okay, in the quote-unquote death tunnel or the death chute that they would take the bodies, you know, down and to whatever, to transport them to wherever. And he's sitting in there alone, okay, and then his light goes out. You know, all his light goes out. And you expect that to happen, right, because it's TV. But, you know, the first thing I thought about was not, is that noise a ghost because some rock fell or something? I don't know if anybody remembers, but a few years ago, part of that tunnel collapsed, and they had to rebuild it.
Yeah,
because there was so many people walking up and down in there. So the first thing that occurred to me is you better get out of that tunnel, you know, because if it collapses and blocks it, you know, way you can't get in, that's bad, but if it falls on you, you're going to be dead, stupid, you know, and you just want to reach in the TV and go, get out, what are you doing, yeah. you know, you want to become another ghost of Waverly, you know,
a ghost it's from the death tunnel, yep,
right, it's a self-replicating thing, and I've never, the first wave of interest was back, which I was just observing, because I was a kid, and my mom was into all of that stuff, but this is like, you know, it's like, I don't even know what to, everything's, it's such a, it's a trend, it's a hobby. Somebody got mad because, like last week, I think it was, it's a friend of mine, so I mean, we just blew it off, but some guy had said in a comment that, you know, there really is no professional setup. In other words, because you can't get certifications and, whatever and all this. And I said, and he said, it seems like it's a hobby. And I agreed with him. I said, it really is a glorified hobby. And so, my friend was like, he kind of groused about that and all that. I was like, the problem with people, especially demonologists and all that, but the problem with all of these groups is that they will not allow their evidence to be open to scrutiny by other people. Like, they collect it, they tell you, they analyze it, they tell you what you're supposed to be hearing. This is their capture. And I think a lot of it has to do with wanting to be on TV. Right. But back in the day, there are two organizations that actually still exist. And there's the American Psychic Society, the British Psychic Research Society, and the American Psychic. Maybe the name, I may have the name a little backwards or forwards, but there is a neutral entity that all of these people could be submitting their evidence to, a clearinghouse, if you will, like they were doing during the time of, the early 30s and the end of the 19th century when that was founded, like in Britain. These were the people that said, okay, we actually are stumped by this. So this place, like, you've heard of Borley Rectory, which was so poltergeist active and everything, was an old place in England that was built on a, a monastery was and everything. And they found bodies sealed in the wall. Somebody had walled up a nun, but the ones who actually said, yeah, we can't disprove that, was the British Psychic Paranormal Research Society, whatever it was. They are the ones that said, yeah, we really don't have an explanation. So why don't people today do that? I mean, what do you think? I think it's ego. What do you think?
Yeah, because there's a lot of things that's not paranormal, mm-hmm. and we can go in a place and the client says all these things are happening. We go in there and we don't have anything happening.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. it could either be they do have spirits that don't want us to know they're there, or they're not there.
Right.
I mean, I actually had a lady call me one time and she's like, this was on the phone. And she's like, ma'am, you just don't understand. I have drips, like water coming from my ceiling, dripping down on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, do you have a vent above your bed? And she's like, mm-hmm. yeah. I'm like, is your bed wet right under the vent? She's like, mm-hmm. well, yeah, it's dripping. I'm like, ma'am, that's not paranormal.
It's condensation.
Gosh.
It's not paranormal.
I didn't even have to go to her house to prove that.
I bet she thought she had something too, and that was like, oh my God. I'm not going to say
the name of the lady who referred one of her clients to me, but the lady, I called her, and she was really upset. And some are so funny, it's just kind of hard not to laugh. Mm-hmm. She's like, every morning I wake up, I go to bed at night and all my dishes are dirty. I get up in the morning and all my dishes are done.
Mm-hmm.
They're clean. I'm like, ma'am, can you please send your spirit to my house?
Yeah. Send those house fairies over.
She was so mad at me, she hung up. I'm like, hey.
Some people are on medicine and they get up and do stuff. There's like Ambien, you can take that to sleep and you can draw.
I used to take that and I did hallucinate.
You would forget. Yeah. I mean, it's like, get out. One was somebody famous. I think it was in the Kennedy family that he was under, whatever, from this Ambien, drove a car and wrecked into somebody. And, it was weird because they thought, oh, the doctors are just BSing, make an excuse, but no. And then right. Ambien had a, say, like in the ad, doing things basically without remembering is common if you're having a reaction to Ambien, so I don't know. You could be doing,
I got up in the middle of the night and I was giving my dog Benadryl and my husband's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, my dog needs Benadryl. And he's like, the dog is sleeping.
And why aren't you?
I still think the dog needs Benadryl, you know? Yeah.
I won't, yeah, I mean, I won't.
I will never take that medication again. It's crazy.
No? And you hear some wild stories about it. So, I mean, it may be. You see, and that's something. There's still this whole spectrum of stuff that you should be asking about as a quote-unquote paranormal investigator. All of these kind of things, like what medications are you on, you know, and what side effects do they have? You almost, I mean, it really could be a profession. And it's a shame because the amount of research that actually could go into, you know, each investigation could be a job. I mean, it's a lot of research. It's a lot
it's
of
a
work.
Lot
you
of
take
work.
It seriously. I
and
mean, but, you know,
even on emails, when they email me because they have all these things, they say going on and they're afraid and they have kids. I send a list of questions.
Mm-hmm,
because I want to know what type of activity they have, who's affected by the activity, when was the house done, you know, just all these different questions. And a lot of them never reply because they don't want to take the time and answer my questions.
Right. They just want to get in touch with a, you know, a team and
they
have
want
somebody up in
done
their
right
house.
Now. Yeah.
Or they just want to be famous for stuff that's going on. Excuse me. Like, I was looking at Paranormal Witness is on Destination, you know, America, and I saw the one about the about Zozo, okay, the demon Zozo, and I saw on YouTube somebody basically just debunking the whole thing, and you and I talked about this when we had the guy on, Darren Wayne Evans, I think was his name. It's like there's no reference before it, you know, there's no reference after it. And so I'm not saying that he just made it up, you know, everything goes back to him. You know, it doesn't appear in independently except for that one couple that we had who are in right. that particular paranormal witness episode. That one couple, and they have no connection whatsoever to Darren Wayne Evans because they came
except
to
living
Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma.
Right, right. And although it could have been the house. You know, it could have been the house, but I remember the guy and he said he hadn't checked, but it could have been the exact same house, you know, but everything, you know, and this reporter basically went over everything that was contradictory and everything. And so some people are like so eager to get themselves out there. He convinced Rosemary Ellen Gilley, or she chose, I don't know her. And so I'm not going to talk out of school about the decision, but the fact is that she and him wrote a book about this alleged demon, right? And that's where it got into the psyche. That's where it went into the zeitgeist. Did they discover something that just called that, you know, did exist, or, you know, like the couple, you know, from the TV show that they had no idea about it. And then suddenly, you know, they go, they have all these experiences in the same city and state. And you and I both know, and people should understand this, that if you talk about it enough, if you put enough thought and energy and focus on it and trying to figure out what this thing is and all, this thing becomes real. It becomes, you know, as real as anything. It now
bring
has...
It into- Reality.
Reality. And you know, what came in as a spirit that nobody could see, suddenly it began, you know, it was turned into an 8-foot thing with horns and hooves and all this other stuff. And it's that deep, deep subconscious that is being tapped with everybody focusing all their attention on it. And then it manifests itself into reality. It's, you know, it's the concentrated thought. Covens do this sometimes, especially if they have to protect themselves. You know, they'll get together and they'll concentrate and they'll create an elemental or entity, basically, that has a limited lifespan. If it's all it's going to do is protect them for a certain amount of time, and then they get together again and they release it. But in the in-between time, it's as real as it could ever be. You know, people see it. Sometimes it's people, it's things that look like people. So I know it can be done. So my problem, I guess, with that little story is like, why would he want to be connected in public with such, you know, such a thing, right?
And don't they keep using the Ouija board in each time they have their episodes or I don't know. Does
Well,
he have it? Was he on TV with an episode?
he was on, yeah, he was on Ghost Adventures with Bagans, that crew. And they went to his house. I'm wondering if the house, you know, that our couple that we talked to lived in was that, you know, basically. But yeah, Ghost Adventures came down and they had, you know, stuff. And you can see there's pictures online. I don't know what episode it was. But in the debunking, you know, there's like the Ouija board itself. He describes it one way and he describes how he finds it. Then he describes it another way and it's a different way that he finds it. Then it's the first way he found it, but then it looks a different way again. And, you know, the whole thing is just, it's questionable, but it's a cautionary tale because it may be now that this thing is loose in the zeitgeist. It's loose in the psyche of people that, you know, that are interested in the paranormal. There's a lot of people who know that name and think it's connected to that entity that is described. And so guess what? You know, yet
now it is.
Still, yeah, there you go. And you're going to start getting people who are getting a message on their boards, and they shouldn't be using the damn boards, but they're going to get the Z thing and all this other stuff. And it's like, you know, and that's just, it's like,
and they should be scared.
They should be. Yeah, because, but it's like art, you know, you get an, you're a painter and you get an idea for a picture and you start sketching it out and then you finish it, right? And it's a whole process of realizing it into reality. Well, it's the same thing, you know, that this thing may exist now, you know, and who knows what kind of encounters people are doing. And then you have the other idiots who hear about it, they go get their Ouija board and then they're really trying to contact the thing, you know? Because that's got to be like 50% of the people out there talking about this thing have tried the Ouija board and tried the whatever. So they're on there looking for the Z thing, and it appears or it affects their life.
A whole group of kids in their bedroom with the Ouija board.
Right, which was, it happened with that Charlie thing too. Do you remember that?
Right, yeah.
Stupid movie, The Gallows, Charlie or whatever. And at the time, and I think we talked about it. It's like, y'all better quit doing that, you know, because you're giving in the, you're, it's like a voodoo doll. And we talked about that too. It's like you have a voodoo doll, okay? And if you name it something, then it becomes a magical object. Before that, you can have it sticking anywhere around the house just on display. It's just a doll, and it's the same thing. So you sit in front of a Ouija board, and you're going to start calling Z, Z, you know, and whatever, and you know, that's just what it wants to do. It is now the Ouija board demon. You know, that's like its title, its name, the Ouija board demon. So everybody with a Ouija board wants to try and find out, is it real? Is it this? Is it a, you know?
And all these haunted dolls are trying to sell on eBay.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Well, I don't know, but I saw, before we go to that, that I was, I don't know if I, there's some doll maker here in New Orleans that's like, I don't know, there's these little looking voodoo type dolls with beads and feathers and all. I mean, it looks nice. It's pretty good work. And I can't remember what the name of the, like she calls her company, but you know, I'm looking, I was like, okay, yeah, you know, this little thing. And I'm looking, it's like $325. Okay. And I'm talking, now we're talking like craft people. Attention, everybody. We're kind of segued into the craft area for a minute. And I could make that thing. And she's like, it's like $400, one of a kind. And I'm like, it's ugly. And who's going to pay $400? And then it was like, people collect them all over the world. It's ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah.
But you could. Okay. So it's one of a kind. She put all her craft into it to make it. You get it, you buy it, you get it, you open it up, and it's like, I want it to be real, so I'm going to start, you know, I'm going to pay attention to it every day, I'm going to carry it around me and let it live my life, blah, 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 blah. You know, well, all I can say is at least you'd be getting your bucks out of it, right? $325, that thing better protect your house or get real or cut the grass or whatever shit it's going to do, right? I mean, or don't pay $325. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's yeah, I mean, if you say, you know, you call her up and say, I want a custom one, you know, and then, you know, you're talking about, anyway, that's just, it's the whole thing, you know, the same thing of giving something a name that is either inanimate or doesn't exist in reality. So, haunted dolls and haunted pictures. But I wanted to, because we were talking about, we've been talking about the things that are around you and the way they affect you, and especially if you go and put yourself into contact with them. And I told you I was going to bring it up. I saw that story about Ryan Buell,
Yeah,
and
that's sad.
we have it. I have it posted on the Supernatural Substation page on Facebook, the Supernatural Substation, and it's written by somebody at another website who was a fan. And I was reading it, I'm scrolling through, and the girl really was a gushing fan of his, which I guess her heart was broken when she found out he was gay. And she really liked the show, which to me, it was like one of the, it was better than Ghost Hunters. But and he has a Facebook page, and he went live. Well, let me just say, according to the facts, after he left, Paranormal State, I guess, was discontinued, he was gonna he organized several tours and different like conventions and stuff, and he had other people like Chip Coffee and all those, basically the ones you saw interacting with him, agreeing, to participate in all this. And Chip Coffee at one point, well, he broke away from Ryan because Ryan got arrested for something else, and then there were people wanting to sue him for the amount of money. And Chip Coffee, in this particular article, says that the amount that that Ryan built all these people out of was upwards of $80,000.
Wow.
I mean, seriously, we ought to be doing that. We're in a different line of work. Yeah, but $80,000, which, I mean, being on TV helped him.
No,
And
we have a conscience. We couldn't do
you,
that.
yeah, well, that's true. That's true. He was the one claiming that it was the demon Belial who was after him when he was young.
Oh,
And
my goodness.
you'd watch it, yeah, the one where there was like this one episode before the IM6 with the alleged possession of that girl, and they would subliminally show, he says he's not going to say the name, and then you'd see Belial. It'd be like,
Gosh,
what do you think,
I
people
know Lorraine
fall off their
Martin was on a
TV?
couple of his shows.
Yeah, she hasn't said anything about it, but he's been on a downward spiral. And somebody on some on the comments on this particular article, which can be found at paranormal, let's see, it's called paranormalinvestigating.com. So this writer was talking about that, and I guess he, I mean, he must have had a ton of money, because that I think Grant and Jason were in the 60,000s per episode from Sci-Fi of Ghost Hunters, which is enough. If people, so whoever knows that, and people have to suspect, like, it's enough for people to want to fake stuff and do all kind of crazy stuff to get on TV. That's a lot of money. So he had to be somewhere in that range. But now, like, everybody's pulled away from Chip, and of course they turn their backs. I think that I understand you don't want to be associated with a guy who's stealing money, but to completely leave the guy high and dry, it seems totally oxymoronic that now you have a situation where it may be supernatural. Because if you look, and you can still go back to his Facebook page and look at this live stream thing that he does. I mean, I'm sorry to say, I think his mother alluded to heroin addiction, but I think it's probably more like it, well, I don't know. This is speculating, but I've seen people on meth look like this and go down
Right.
as fast as he did. And one person in the comments said, I was just thinking, could this be because he, basically what he was doing as, I guess, his career, putting himself in contact with a lot of different entities and what he was doing for the show, and I think so. I mean, obviously, I think so. What do you think?
Yeah, and doing drugs, I mean, that'll open him up even more.
Yeah, he was first arrested for some kind of like petty something or other, and it was I don't know, stealing or something. Then he came out and he was gay with that guy on the show, the Russian guy. And then they got into it. There was some kind of domestic thing. But in the intervening time, It was all about the people, you know, who he was stealing the money from. And a lot of people didn't ever get their money back at that. And he was booking these things so much. And the mother actually got onto these boards and said, don't do this. You know, all you're doing is enabling him, giving him more money. And, you know, that's when she alluded to heroin and sickness, because he lied and said he had pancreatic cancer.
Right.
You know, I mean, let's take that like
and an addict will do that to get money, you know.
Yeah, but I mean pancreatic. Oh, but you know, an addict who, you know, is Joe Blow or John Doe addict. But this guy was on TV and he's telling everybody he's got pancreatic cancer, and God doesn't sleep, right? But I mean, if you're gonna fake an illness, don't do, you know, fake one that could kill you or that should kill you, and then you live, you know. But all of that was going on in the intervening months. And then this latest one was, he was arrested because for domestic violence. And I don't know if it's the same guy, Serge, that he had on the show, or it's some other guy, but they got into a fight and he scratched him, and then, you know, a gay fight, right? And the police came out and they hauled Ryan Buell into jail, you know? So the idea that he would have something attached to him is 100%.
Oh yeah. And for his paranormal peers to turn their backs totally on him at that time, you know, I don't understand that, you know.
It says they're more interested in their image. I mean, it's reputation, you know. I guess if I knew him and I was going to distance myself, I would say why I was doing it. Right. You know? I would say
or try to get him the right help. You know, if he had that many connections, I'm sure help is out there for him.
But all of these paranormal people, these people that, you know, go all over these conventions and they're on TV, wouldn't one of them say, hey, you know, we need to try and help him.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like a club or a military thing or something, or, you know, where you go, he's quote unquote one of us. And we know he's stealing money, but he's got some kind of a health issue with drugs, obviously, and he's lying and all this other thing. But if they believe what they're doing is real, they should say, but we're more concerned with what might be causing this, right? He may have picked up a demon. He may be right about Belial. He may have, been around addicts and stuff like that, where you and I know the whole atmosphere around these people is just clogged with other addicts and the spirits of addicts trying to feed off of, the energy, you know, the vicarious thrill of getting, you know, whatever they got, heroin or meth or whatever it is. And then just the idea, you know, every addict could have 1,000 spirits feeding off of him. So, I mean, if it was me, I'd say that this is an investigation you should want to do.
Right.
So why are you not, why is, you know, I mean, nobody's, he had who, yeah, you know, I mean, he had several people other than Lorraine. And I don't think Lorraine, I mean, she's old. I don't think she'd be able to do anything. But somebody like, he had, what is that woman? Michelle Bellinger. He had her on the show a lot. Chip was on the show a lot. And he had other guests show up. But it's interesting to see, you know, that what they decided to do, they had an option to stay and help, and just make it clear to the public that they had no connection to the money issue. They were not doing anything for money, or, you know, turn their back and go worry about their own popularity. And they took option B. A lot of them did. So we may have a guy here fighting.
That's sad though. Yeah. It's sad, I think, because in our field, you know, we see a lot of what he is doing, and we get a lot of clients like him now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it was one of my paranormal people, supernatural people, you know, that I know, I would be there to help them. Mm-hmm. At least try to help them, because sometimes they don't want the help and they'll fight you tooth and nail. They don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they know I'd try, and I, you know, I'd offer the help.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Anybody
who doesn't believe, well, you know, I mean, and you see this in meth particularly, that it just destroys
Yeah, it
people.
eats you from the inside out.
Oh my God, if you see some of these pictures, but again, I watch Cops, right, on TV, and there was this one girl that they knew because they had picked her up, and she was 18. Bernadine, she looked like she was 50. She was
Oh, yeah.
18 years old.
It actually eats you from the inside out.
This woman looked like she could have been her own grandmother. I mean, she was just, and that is particularly meth because it's so, it's made out of,
It's
whatever's
chemicals.
under the damn sink they make it out of. And, it's, I don't know if this is what his problem is. And again, this disclaimer, I don't know Ryan Buell. I don't know anybody who knows Ryan Buell other than the same way, on TV. That's it. But from a distance, that's my feelings about it. It's like if he was my friend or if he was somebody that I cared about and he made some mistakes, et cetera, why don't you try and help with the spiritual side of it? Where is Father Bob Bailey in all of this? Because he was on TV with them a lot. Andrew Calder, for God forgive, he died. He actually, we all know why, but we won't mention it here. But yeah, but somebody like that say, look, there's somebody in our quoting. They talk about this paranormal field, and every time I hear that, I see this, this
Unity.
big. Well, no, I see, yeah, unity. He was the one pushing for unity, right? He was the one doing that. So why? What do they have to lose by trying to help him, right? If
No,
they are.
nothing.
If they are what they say they are, then what do
Right.
they have to lose? Trying to help this guy not die, from drugs.
Yeah. If they worried about their popularity versus helping, someone like them, that's on them, because karma will come back one day on them.
That's what I say. Yeah, God don't sleep. You know what I mean? Now, Ryan Buell shouldn't be running around claiming he has cancer, but that's part. That's all part of the whole addicted personality thing, and the sickness that comes with it. But let's take for example, there was somebody who said like you and I are saying, and then we could get him clear, quote unquote, or cleansed spiritually into a more clarity, into more clarity about. His spiritual and his, his psychic life, then maybe efforts to get him, whatever is addicting and whatever is troubling him mentally, could succeed. But nothing's going to succeed. Here's a guy who, has spent years putting himself in front of and in touch with all kinds of negativity and look, and a lot of it could have been lies, but then you're lying about it, like we just talked about Zozo, and you bring it into your life. And so this guy is, spent like 3 years on a TV show. And I just wonder if it had been Grant Wilson, right? Would everybody, have run over there and or run away in the opposite direction? Now, a lot of people on this live feed video are like, we're with you, we're this, we're that, and that's great. But these are people like, they can't, they have no way to affect his life for negative or positive. All they are is a comment on a Facebook screen.
Right.
But he has friends, and I would hope that Lorraine, if she had anything, she'd be saying this to him. She would be
Right.
saying, I understand the guy stole money. You don't want to put your name with it, but wouldn't you rather go down and say, as someone who tried to help him? Yeah, you're not going to give him money, but and that just
They
shows how.
have high connections to get him the help he needs.
Really, I mean, yes, and I mean somebody like Michelle Bellinger, and she's she calls herself a vampire. She is a vampire, whatever, but she's an energy worker. Where's she? And I don't know what personally went on, but it seems to me that there were enough people who knew this kid, and I say kid because he's so much younger than us, but and now they're just not there. Katrina went off with Nick and no holding nothing against against her for going on and making a career move, right? So she's on paranormal lockdown. But They even had an occultist that, you know, was on their paranormal state team. You know, again, why would you walk away from this? Even if you were doing it for the wrong reasons, wouldn't you want to try and see if this is something supernatural? You know, if not, then you probably go take up hang gliding or something, you know,
yeah.
Or, you know, go climb Mount Everest for a challenge. It's just, I don't know. And
it's a sad situation, but you can't call people friends if they're not there to have your back in need. And, you mm-hmm. know.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Debbie Constantino, Mark and Debbie Constantino. And I was thinking about that because it was just me doing this show. And that was one of the earliest shows that I did. And I did an ad, which I usually do. The photo I used, I found online. It was just some whatever. And, you know, I put it up that that's what I was going to be talking about. And I got so much freaking, actually, I tagged somebody and it showed up on her wall. And then she sends me a private message and she chews me out. Okay. She chews me out. How dare you? How dare you use my picture? Okay. And I wrote it back and I was like, that picture is out there. As far as your picture, you should go and find your picture because it's out there because a bunch of people are using it. And then in the intervening time before I did the show, I got really pissed off. You know, I mean, this woman was dead. These people were dead. And, you know, I was getting all of this flack and threats and people saying, it's just too soon. You know, it's too soon. You know, and I remember saying, you know, how dare you not help this woman? You know, she writes me in a message. She and I were very close. Well, if you were close, why don't you pay for a plane ticket to get her to your house and defuse the situation? You know? Why didn't you do that if you were such good friends with her, right? And how dare I, you know, how dare you not help her? And you know, and I said, if this would happen to you, somebody, you die in a situation, would you want everybody to forget? You know, one of Debbie Constantino's friends called out all of these same people, a lot of the same people, you know, and don't you, who are you to say it's too soon? We're not talking about paranormal right now. That's what I was trying to tell them. We're talking about domestic violence. Right? A woman was killed and he died and it was so screwed up. And yeah, spirits had a lot to do with it. It definitely did. And that's one of the first ones that we heard about. But you want to stop talking about it? Then you let the domestic violence go unchecked. You don't acknowledge that there was a problem here. You know, and all these hypocrites, you know, this particular woman is rich. You know, she does all of this, could do whatever she wanted, you know, go wherever she wanted. She could have put the woman on a plane and brought her to safety or just, you know, to let them get space. But no, she's too busy being at paranormal conventions with people like Brian Buell. And it's that, you know, it's like, hey, that's why I think I don't do a lot of, you know, I don't do a lot of this. I know you and I, we really don't do them. We've done a couple other, you know, like fun things and all, but you know, it's almost like dragging your butt all the way over to just get aggravated. You know, it's just, I can get aggravated at home, right? In my yard. I mean, or in traffic. I don't need to go to, you know, Chicago and BF, whatever, you know.
I don't know. I think speaking on the dangers of, you know, supernatural, mm-hmm. paranormal, and all that's going on that's so popular, I think it does help people that are interested, that want to listen, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and we now have you know, the show as well, so it's a little bit more, you know, it's a little bit easier to reach other people, which I see that some positive signs in that area. We've had likes on our Facebook page and people are, you know, thumbs up and stuff like that. So, and it's good because we do have some things coming up. But seriously, I mean, it's like hanging around, you know, people with that energy, it just takes so much out of you. And now they're all kind of pretty desperate. They've been desperate. It's a whole group of people who just want to be on TV, right? And just want to be, you know, call themselves filmmakers and call themselves demonologists. Right. So,
but I anyway, don't see any show out there speaking about the dangers. I don't.
They don't want to tell them about the dangers because then they wouldn't have TV shows.
Well,
And like I said, you're going to have cases forever. Like,
forever.
You'll be like, I'm 90 and I'm on my porch in a rocking chair. I don't want to do this case. I'm not doing investigations anymore. And seriously, you know, people keep repeating this stupid stuff. And people like that, that are just so desperate to get in front of people, you know, it's creating more and more. There'll be books and whatever about it. But anyway, that's what it led to, this conversation. So yeah, don't go calling yourself a demonologist unless you're ready to fight a demon. No, if you're a demonologist,
I'm not.
You should have, right, you should have thick glasses and a notebook and books and books and books in your house, like me. Because you got to know who your enemy is and how to fight them. So anyway, Joe, he said we have a couple of minutes. I think we're probably up at a break right now. I don't know if the Joe man can hear me, but what we're going to do is take a break, and we'll be back. Break means a pause, and we'll be back. And so stay with us. We have more topics that we're going to be discussing. And our dear friend Cop is in the room. He said it's time for shrimp. He lives where they have lobsters, and lobsters steaming away. Okay, just rub it in, Cop. Just rub it in. All right, Joe, if you can hear us, yeah, he's there. All right, everybody, we'll be back in just a few minutes, so stay with us. So more fun ahead.
You are listening to United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans.
The UPRN family of shows would like to take a moment to thank our loyal listeners for tuning in to UPRNTalkRadio.com along with 107.7 FM New Orleans. Broadcasting on multiple platforms like Live365, Ustream, and Shoutcast has made the UPRN the longest-running, highly rated, and best source of quality, unique programming that is not afraid of the status quo in alternative media. This station has a solid course of shows and hosts that refuse to get stuck in a rut or be overrun by a groupthink mentality, because station owner, host, and iCar founder Joe Montaldo knows the value of letting his talented stable of hosts grow uninhibited. In this genre, that's an accomplishment which many in alternative radio are striving for but are left consistently wanting. This is all made possible because of you, the listener, that tunes in live every night, who can tell the difference that independent thinking makes. The best way to show our appreciation is to thank you and continue to allow our listeners the ability to download the archives of all the shows free of charge on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud. No monthly fees, no cost to download individual shows, and none of the constant hassling for donations. That's the UPRNradio.com difference. So stick around, there's much more to come with new shows on the way. For now, feel free to join your favorite show live in the Pal Talk chat room, easily accessible off UPRNTalkRadio.com, and share the experience of listening live with other listeners from around the world. So thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the UPRNTalkRadio.com family of listeners.
Hi, I'm Joe Montaldo, and you're listening to United Public Radio.
Hi, you've got to listen to ICAR, that's International Community for Alien Research, www.icar1.com. I should know, I'm Irish.
You are listening to United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans.
Spaced Out Radio is glad to be part of the United Public Radio Network family as we round out your night 7 days a week, starting at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Our goal is to give you that paranormal listening option that you've been missing all these nights. You can join me, Dave Scott, Monday through Friday, and James Tyson on the weekend. We promise to deliver the fastest 3 hours of radio right to wherever you are. And check out our website as well, spacedoutradio.com. Are you experienced?
Hi, I'm Joe Montalda, host of News on the Flip Side, and you're listening to United Public Radio, 107.7 out of the Grand City of New Orleans.
You are listening to United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans.
You're listening to UFO Undercover with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
So my kids don't have to forage. Got two jobs to pay a mortgage, and I've also got a brain. Life's short, talk is cheap. I'll be working while you sleep. Still don't think I've got a brain. You think a resume's enough? Who'll step up when things get tough? Don't.
And we're back, just like we promised you. This is the Supernatural Substation on the United Public Radio Network. I'm your host, Celine Pastanio, and this is your host, Bernadine LeBlanc.
Hey, what's up?
So what we're doing here is we basically, at the end of the month, we take some time to go over the topics and the guests that we had. And if you are just joining us, we were talking about demonologists, and we've talked that one to death, but basically they don't have our stamp of approval unless they're wearing like a monk thing. What do you call it? A cassock and a hood. And then we were talking a little bit about some of the consequences of investigating, because, you know, we always try to point out the dangers. What was I going to say? Oh, so, but we had another guest. We had only two in April because of Easter, and we're not going to sit here and talk about Jesus Christ Superstar, because that was our gift to you on Easter, Good Friday. So we played that, and then we had Mr. Lynn Buchanan, and he was last week, right, Dean? Was our last guest last week? Mm-hmm. And his thing that he does is all about remote viewing. He actually was with the military, and he was a part of a military operation where they were developing the skills in people who had some sort of at least showed some, demonstrated some skills in ESP, clairvoyance, and remote viewing. And he did it so well that they basically they kind of wrote the book on controlled remote viewing, which he called CRV, I think. And it's all about the manifestation, I guess, basically it's seeing through walls, really. But it is also, like we were talking just in the first hour, about manifesting things into reality. It's also in the reverse, as a psychic spy, putting false information into the heads of the other side, basically, whoever the adversary is. And I wish somebody would do it in North Korea.
Yeah.
I wish they would just focus and make him think he blew himself up or something. Because that little bugger over there is going to cause some problems. But I was fascinated by it. And it's not something that I always, you know, the sort of psychic ESP thing, kinetics and all that, I really didn't have that much of an interest in it. But I know it's valid, you know. And he basically, you know, kind of wrote the book, and now he consults on for basically industry and business. And I guess that's kind of a forward-looking model. Looking for, you know, what do we have to look out for? Or what did he say? There was like a contract that was like 200 pages long, and he pointed out sections in it that they should have their lawyer look at and revise. I mean,
mm-hmm. All I can think of.
Yeah, and all I can think of to compare it to is when Obama was in the first term, and the first thing he did was the Obamacare, and they actually had a copy of the act itself, and it was 2,400 pages, and it was like 4 feet tall or something, and they had a speed reading guy go through the whole thing, and he was just like... speed reading, you know, and he did, he touched on, you know, all the important things of it, but I mean, it was like some show, and then he was still doing it when the show ended and all, and then they brought him back, and I mean, you know, I don't have any, I don't have any experience. I mean, I've had premonitions and there's quote unquote coincidences and stuff like that. But, you know, have you ever, we know somebody, Ron, who can do it. And these are the people that talk to, you know, it was the movie that they made out, The Men Who Talk to Goats.
Yes. Which
I didn't go see because of George Clooney was in it. So, but he was a really interesting, it's a different perspective on something that I guess falls in the supernatural or the parapsychological areas that used to be so, you know, so popular in the 70s. And because my little thing, yours is a little bit more, investigating, mine is a little bit more, and we combine it, you know, into what we do. But I suppose there's lots of people who have that and don't know it and do stuff, you know.
They use it for the wrong reasons, and that's a bad thing.
That's right. I wonder if it's anything, you know, like that woman that, which I won't name her, but she really likes Nick Cage, and she thinks Nick visits her at night and stuff. I wonder if it's anything like that, you know. Like she's imagining it and something is picking up on it, in other words, or that she already had something around her.
Putting thoughts into her head.
Yeah, and then showing up as Nick Cage, you know, because there was somebody who knew her known her for a while and known of it and said, that's not, apparently she saw what it really looked like. And, you know, the other woman wouldn't believe her and kept saying it was Nick Cage. I don't know. You know,
I watched a show on remote viewing years ago on how they actually teach remote viewing, and it's with a pencil and paper, sketches and stuff like that. But what they do is you can say like states away or across the world, they have a person to put an object or another person sitting like at a table at a certain restaurant, you know, where they try to get the remote viewer on the other side, and he's just in a little bitty room with a pad and a pencil, and they put the thoughts into his head, and he's got to actually find that person on the other end of the world at that restaurant sitting, you know, and see through this person's eyes what that person's seeing around them. And that's how he sees, that's how he sketches, because he's seeing through this person's eyes. So, well, it's kind of psychic, I guess, sense.
I guess it's psychic sense. I just never really, I guess I can say that he's like the most, he put it in the most interesting way, because typically I'm really bored with that. Like on TV, I don't watch it. And then they always put it with UFO stuff, you know, cause I'm like, so it's like I like UFOs, but you know, I don't know if I could do that. I'd have already, look, you know where I would have remote viewed? Into Fort Knox or something, you know, into a Swiss bank, and I would have remote viewed moving money into my bank account, you know, stuff like that. And then I'd have to go think about it all on vacation, a long vacation. But you know, it's good that we don't just, you know, we don't always do the same topics. And so we've had a little bit of a variety, and it's good to represent, because those things are kind of marginal, you know. And when we're talking about the Society for Psychical Research in both America and Britain, a lot of their work dealt with stuff like that, kinetics, ESP, remote viewing, and maybe they were trying to establish a connection to poltergeist activity, because you know how we always, now we're hearing that poltergeist activity usually occurs in a house where there is teenager or a couple of kids entering pre-puberty, prepubescent into adolescence, and the energy of the hormones and everything can cause, you know, manifestations. And then people say, how could it be, you know, how could it go, what, you know, how could that happen? Well, even if it happens and it's happening in the environment, it's fluctuating the energy in that environment. And what happens? We know it attracts other spirits. And then you really do get a ghost or a spirit haunting in addition to what the girl or the boy is causing unconsciously to happen in the environment. You know, I mean, I guess the best example of that recently was The Conjuring 2. Have you seen that yet? Bernadine, with
yes, I did. It was awesome.
You know, my daughter, we saw The Conjuring together, and I was blown away. And I got to say, this director, James Wan, he directed Insidious, and he has certain little things that he repeats, and he does so well with dark corners. He'll stay fixed, like in the first Conjuring when the girl was saying there was something in the corner, and in The Conjuring 2, where the voice was coming, you know, from the dark corner in their room. He is just phenomenal. He is so he's a genius in that. And in the Insidious, he even put you could barely see her, but there was a woman weeping standing against the wall in a corner, and that was one of the creepiest scenes I've ever seen in any movie. But the case was the Enfield Poltergeist case, and actually it was the British Society for Psychical Research. Now I know what the title of it is, because I was trying to think, wait, it's, you know, that's what they call themselves, and the American is the same. And they were there already before the Warrens showed up. And, you know, obviously people, you know, like The Conjuring. We met Andrea Perrin, who was a daughter of the family who her firsthand experience. She experienced the events that were the inspiration for The Conjuring. But a lot of that didn't happen in that way. And because, you know, nobody's going to go pay, you know, $17 to get in a movie and watch just, you know, people just doing normal stuff. They have to have a story structure and they have to have drama. And Andrea was very upset because she felt that they didn't portray her mother especially and their faith, etc. So, but it's kind of a, you know, it's artistic license when you go into that. And I, you know, that movie, The Conjuring, was great. In fact, it was the summer that Deliver Us from Evil came out, which is the one that based on Ralph's life story. And, right. You know, it was just blown away. You really don't get such good, so, you know, so many good ones in the summer, you know, like that we're having. I'm going to talk about it in a minute, but the Enfield case is really interesting. A lot of it, and there was this one guy, Morris Gross, but they didn't, there was another guy named Guy Playfair, and he was a researcher in sort of like the spirit, he was into Brazilian researching, not just poltergeists, but curses and Palo Mayombe and, you know, these voodoo type or these, you know, these same kind of feeling religions and practices in Brazil. So he was there for a long time, but he wasn't shown in the movie. And apparently the Warrens did go for 3 days. Now, you know, in The Conjuring 1, Andrea says that the Warrens showed up one day and that they kicked them out of the house. I don't know. I wasn't there, but that's what she said. In this one, they were there for like 3 days. Of course, they make 3 days sound feel like a week in the movie, mm-hmm. but it's that kind of a thing those kind of experiences that kind of basically led researchers to formulate the idea of, you know, the youth, the energy of, you know, the body transforming from a child into, you know, a teenager or eventually a young adult, you know. So that puts a lot of strain on the energy in the atmosphere. So, but I want to say those two movies. And so I heard, now you remember the nun in The Conjuring 2?
Yes.
The nun. And I love Vera Farmiga. She plays Mrs. Warren. I love her. And Bates Motel just ended. It was on. I went back to Netflix and watched them all because I kind of like had passed it up and said, I don't want to get involved in another series because, God, The Walking Dead went totally over the edge of my patients. But anyway, but she's so great. I could watch her. I could really watch her do anything. Well, her sister is named Thaisa, and they look exactly alike. But there is her younger sister. She was in American Horror Story in Coven, the one that, you know, got my hackles up. But she was in a couple of the other seasons. And she, apparently James Wan, is going to do a spinoff called The Nun. And she's going to be The Nun. I told my daughter that. She's like, uh-uh. It's like, because she was more bothered by The Conjuring 2 than she was by The Conjuring 1. And she's only seen it like maybe 1.5 times because she won't watch it. But The Nun thing is what really kind of did it. So now they're going to make a movie, The Nun, and it's going to be whatever the backstory is. But in the article, they allude to the fact that there's a Conjuring 3 coming out. And there's only one thing that it could be. And it's going to be Amityville. I know it because they're saying, no, no, they're all denying it. No, no, no. But there is a 3 in the works. And if you remember in the very beginning, the first scene, they're in the house at Amityville taking, you know, when they're doing the seance and everything, they're there. So I don't think any director would go through the trouble of creating an environment and not to do it into a full, you know, thing. I hope so. Anyway, I hope so.
We'll be waiting. Yes.
I want to see what he does with Amityville. it's just, you know, it was like Bates Motel. Okay. That was just based on Psycho. And in Psycho, you remember it was Norman Bates. He stabbed Janet Leigh and oh my God. Well, it was the whole backstory and they told it in a totally different way. And it gave these characters life for like 5 seasons and they had all these backstories. So you got to watch this kid turn into this maniac, you know, over 5 seasons. It's excellent. I was, you know, I'm happy I got to catch up on it and finally pay attention to it. So, but in addition to all of that, because we're gonna leave remote viewing here because I was looking at, what is the woman's name? The Winchester House, you know, the Winchester Mystery House where the woman inherited the Winchester, what do you call it? The fortune.
Sarah Winchester.
Yeah. Let me see. Sarah Winchester. People Magazine reported they are making a movie about the life in the building, I guess, of the house. And Helen Mirren is going to play Sarah Winchester. And there's a picture of her. You know, Helen Mirren is Dame Helen Mirren. And for the life of me, I can't think of a recent movie that she's in. But you know her if you see her. She, she was in recently. I don't know. Everybody out there, you can look her up, but she is she's like a Dame Helen Mirren. They had given her the Order of the British Empire and all. She's a great actress. Okay. She played, the first time I saw her was in that movie Excalibur about King Arthur. And this was like in the 70s or the 80s, the early 80s. She played Morgan Le Fay and she's been in everything, you know, that she's done has been pretty much great. So she's going to be Sarah Winchester. And I'm like, yes. you know, because on the surface, it's like, I guess I'd have to be there to feel if it's creepy, but it's another thing like the ESP and I was like, this is not creepy. This is weird. And it's probably haunted, but it was like, everybody goes, ooh, one of the most, I'm like, no, you know, and it's just, she was, if the story is how gullible she was and she began to have, seances and stuff, and this is where the spirits basically manifested and said, and it was probably partly the medium she was using too, that she had to atone for all of the lives that the Winchester guns, the repeating rifle, because Winchester came out with the repeating rifle, I think at the turn of the century or right after the Civil War. And she married into that family, and then she was a widow, and she somehow they said you have to atone, and that, like, in other words, they're coming to get you, but if you keep making it noisy, you know, you keep activity going, they're not going to get you. So she built that house, you know, into the weird thing that it is.
And that's crazy because activity is what stirs them up.
Right. And, you know, every time they've shown this on a program or whatever. They talk to people like painters and maintenance people who have, you know, the responsibility of going around making it safe and everything. And then some of the tour guides, you know. I mean, I'd like to go see it once, but to me, and the Whaley House, when I went to San Diego to see my daughter when she was over there in the Navy, we were like, wow, we're going to go in Old Town San Diego is where the Whaley House is. So I was totally like, you know, it's like, what? It's this little bitty house and all of the rooms except downstairs, you can move about freely because it's kind of like a museum. But all of the rooms upstairs have those acrylic panels in the front of them. So it's almost like a splash guard, like at a salad bar. And you can like look over the top of it because they have handprints all over it and everything, you know, everything.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to peek over the top. And the most interesting thing that we saw was when we walked in to the door, there one of the woman who I guess runs the shop, the museum and the shop downstairs, was talking to this old woman who was in her 90s. And she was there with her son, and she had actually worked there as a maid or a housekeeper in the house when she was young. So we're talking about 90-something years. So it had, and it was Whaley's that she was working for. So that was the weirdest thing. I mean, it was delightful, but, you know, I mean, you just don't see that. She was wanted to see it, I guess, one last time. That was the feeling that you get. But she was just so, you know, she was fascinating. But the rest of the house, I'm like, yeah. And then we went out. And I know we're just BSing right now. But then we went out the door and they had a restaurant, like, attached to, like, another building, but was on the property. And it was a New Orleans style. It was Cajun something. And we went to see the menu. And I'm talking gumbo, right? $25.
What?
Shrimp po' boy, yeah, shrimp po' boy, $20-something, jambalaya. It was all like, it was like, we're standing there with our mouths open going, are you kidding? You know, I don't know what, if they charge them by the mile for being out of New Orleans or what, but, you know, it's like, well, we're not eating there. We went and had Mexican food, which is what we wanted to do anyway. But you know, I've been putting a lot of these stories up on our Facebook page, you know, which you should check on as well. But we're actually adding a lot of good things. And Dean and I were talking on the break about one story, which I have to fix the link on, but it was a funeral home in Ohio. Okay, I'm not going to laugh. I laughed about it. A funeral home caught on fire because they were cremating a guy or a body that was like almost 500 pounds.
Whoa.
So I'm smiling, okay? I mean, I'm sorry. Hillside Chapel, the Cincinnati Cremation Company in Cincinnati, and unfortunately the link doesn't work. There was an overly obese body, and the fire department came, put it out, and when they were filling out the paperwork, they called it, you know what they called it? The cause of the fire? A grease fire.
Oh my goodness.
All of the fat caught on fire and
flash
fire the back of the building. I mean, it didn't burn the whole funeral home down, but the building adjacent to it where they do the cremation was like torched, you know, and it gives a whole new meaning to it. Like, you know, if you're thinking about losing weight now and you want to be cremated, now would be a good time, you know, because you don't want to be the cause of a flash fire or a forest fire or something like that, you know.
That's so right. Crazy.
That's morbid. I'm telling you, it's great. It's great. Listen to me. It's morbid but fun. So, but yeah, that's a movie we're going to be looking forward to. And did you see the previews for The Mummy? Have you seen that yet?
No.
Tom Cruise is gonna, I love Tom Cruise. He's nuts, but I love him. And The Mummy, they're redoing it. It's not going to be like The Man. Joe is putting something in the room. I'm sorry. It's not going to be like The Male Mummy. It's a female. And so that looks good. I think that's in June. And then the Alien movie, Covenant, is coming out like on the 12th of May. And then on Memorial Day, we're going to have Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. I mean, it's going to be the last in the series. But we're going to have a great summer of stuff. you know, with that. What was I going to do? Oh, and I was going to go look up the info for SPAR. So what about you, Dean? Got anything to add that's interesting to any of this?
Well, I kind of miss Eva Green.
Oh, Penny Dreadful.
Yeah.
That was a bunch of, I lost them all because I had to move and I changed cable providers. But I had deleted like the third season. That was so ridiculous. That was ridiculous. That last.
I liked all of them.
I liked it. I liked that. But the whole idea that it was canceled, okay? But the whole idea that this writer, this guy John Logan, who did a really great job of, you know, bringing all of the, the icons of Victorian literature into mm-hmm. that one story. But he, you know, they started out in the first episode of the third season where the little, the gay man from the museum is off to Egypt. Yeah. He's going to Egypt and he was going to study Imhotep. And if you know your Universal monsters, Imhotep is the mummy. He's the guy that was mummified alive or, you know, buried alive. And so that was in the first episode. Then you get to the end and you got this, you know, this freaking shootout with Ida Lupino shooting guns with, you know, what's his name? Timothy Dalton. And they introduced Dracula again. I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking as a writer, but I didn't like it at all. I think
Dracula was all the way to the end.
That was ridiculous because they did it in the first season, you know. So the natural progression, if the first season was about Dracula and the second season was about her power and you know, him becoming a werewolf, because that's kind of what it was. The third one should have been because she was calling herself something older in the very first when they had the seance. Mm-hmm. She was calling, like the witch called her Amonette, but she was saying she was older, which, folks, if you're thinking older, I immediately went to, oh, she's Lilith, right? The most powerful, the mother of demons, right? And that's where I thought it was going because I'm a writer and I was like, that's where I would take it, right? I would take that. He should have stuck to the Imhotep thing and then, you know, closed it out with that. In other words, if she was going to die at the end of the third season, then bring it full circle to whatever this is that's been plaguing her, and it's from Egypt, okay? So, but it was like,
You need to write to them and complain.
If I had that man in front of me, I would hit him with a book, okay? Because and you know, a lot of time was taken up with all of the sex and the, you know, this and all. You know, it's like, just imply it. Can't you put more narrative in? I mean, that just doesn't, you know. I mean, I'm 56 years old. I don't really. We all know what happens. I don't care. You know, she looks nice doing it, but it's like the story. And then Dorian Gray was left hanging. Frankenstein was left hanging. All of this was ridiculous. You know, so he got on and he said, oh, we always were going to end it. Well, even if it was going to end it in the situation that was ended, I would have had him shoot her and then shoot himself, Josh Hartnett. It would have been that would have been an ending. That they, because he was connected to her as her defender or whatever, he should have gone with her to the other side. But that's just me. And I guess I am a better writer. Buy my books www.alinepastania.net. yeah, I should write more, but, you know, daily life. Anyway, yeah, I miss that. And I thought it was one of the great, you know, the first two seasons were really great. But all of the when the woman is in the front of the fireplace and they're talking in that verbus diabolus, it was so well thought out to do what they did, you know, that really, if I had in there, I said, this is what you can do, really, this is how you write, you know, anyway. But I don't know, so that had nothing to do with remote viewing or Pirates of the Caribbean, but who do we have. Let's talk about some guests we're going to have. And tell me, because Dean is the one, folks, who are getting all this, these great guests here. She's my right-hand person. So what's coming up in the next month?
We have May 5th. We have Carrie and Woody Schuller.
Now, who were they?
They were the clients from the Demon Files. And actually,
the one that Ralph walked out on.
Nixa House episode. Mm-hmm. But when their daughter was born, she was born dead but survived. Mm-hmm. And that's when they started having trouble with the paranormal. But when that happened, the father, Woody, he was desperate, and he actually, I guess, not knowingly what he did, he actually traded off his life for his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they started having paranormal trouble and a demonic haunting. Mm-hmm. Then on May 12th, we have Melanie Young. She is the founder of the Star Child Project.
That's something I've never really talked. Yeah, that's going to be interesting because I'd like to see. I've had people tell me, I believe I'm a star child, you know, and they were psychotic. So, you know. Yeah,
well, she has a little backstory because she actually was gifted two skulls.
Mm-hmm.
She was an Aryan at the time, and mm-hmm. it changed her life because one of the skulls, that's what started the Star Child Project.
Mm-hmm.
And then on May 19th, we have Nick Redfern, which was a guest before I came on. And he's going to be speaking about the men in black.
And the women in black, too, right?
And the women in black. He has quite a few books out.
Mm-hmm. And the most recent one is The Women in Black, so I think we'll be talking a little bit more about that one. Yeah, so we have a full May coming up. We're really looking forward to it. Great guest, Bernadine, doing a great job. While I'm trying to work on all our media, Bernadine is getting us guests, and so we're chugging along. And if you're listening live, or if you come on this in the archives or whatever, join us on Friday nights. It's really fun. Now, in May also, we have our friends over at Spars Paranormal in Mississippi. And we've been basically talking about their visit the spirits of Beauvoir, meet the spirits, I'm sorry. They have an event, they have an investigation every month until the month of the convention, which will be September, and Bernadine and I will both be there. This month, May coming up, May 20th is the weekend. You'll get to participate in an overnight investigation with the team, and they have told us that Beauvoir is very active. And I think it's probably more active because of what's going on in New Orleans with the damn statues, but never mind. I didn't mention it. Don't say anything. But anyway, folks, no, if you're interested, go to Spars Paranormal. That's sparsparanormal.com, excuse me, and you look under the events. And you can also buy your tickets for Gulf Coast Paracon, which is in September. So, yeah, pretty much wraps it up, I guess. Anything else, Dean? What are we've got? We got 6 minutes, says the clock on the wall.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is United Public Radio, Joe, because he has some brains. He has a header, and I guess you're supposed to read that sentence.
What? Wait. I'm confused. Don't do that. Don't throw me things out of left field.
Go header, up.
Mrs. Perry. Oh, Kathy Bilski. Yeah, I would. I'm going to read it.
Okay.
Header. Kathy Bilski. I always do that, Joe. So, anyway.
Well, I've never seen him do that
this
before.
Is what I think.
Yeah.
That's right, Joe. And Zeke the zombie. That's right. You're there.
I'm going to make
right.
you a Zeke the zombie.
Yeah, make me a doll and charge me $325 for it.
No, I won't do that.
I need to get a symbol. Okay, so if people are looking for you for an investigation or to bitch at you or whatever, don't bitch at Bernadine. Let me put that in there. No, if they're trying to find you because they need help with a haunting or they have questions, where do they find you?
They could find me at www.lspr-society.com or go to my email, which is Bernadine, B-E-R-N-A-D-I-N-E, at lspr-society.com.
Right. And you can't, Dean will ask, answer questions about anything. You don't have to live in the state to give her a call. So remember that. And she's one of the best. Well, she is the best. You know, she's the best team. Because I wouldn't be affiliated with anything but the best. No. And if you're looking for me, www.alimpastanio.net. You can find me also on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, Snapchat, all this other, you know, stuff. But I am also building a platform for Bernadine and I, which we already kind of had that going, but we want to kind of build it out. So if you're looking for the two of us together and things that are going on, find us at on Facebook at The Supernatural Substation. And you can also be, again, in the same spots, Tumblr, Instagram, et cetera. We're going to have that. Plus, we have a YouTube channel that we're working on. So hopefully we'll have something new about that next month. So anyway, yeah, you're looking for me, AileenPastanio.net. You can message me on any of the other on Facebook. In that, I have different pages for my go like my book pages, please. And anyway, just you know, I'm here. You know where to find me. Don't pick a fight with me either. No, because I'll go get one of them $325 dolls. I'll stick a pin in it. No. Anyway, time for the crazy to end. So. You guys have a good one. It's been another night. Yes, Miss Kathy Bilski is coming up, Quantum Leap, and Joe, The Dark Night of the Soul and Light Circle. So stay tuned for that and stay around afterward, tomorrow morning, 2 a.m., for Terminus, to Dark Ambient Radio. Tonight is going to be The Watchers. So I put together really 3 hours of excellent music for you, dark and gloomy and just like we like it. So say goodnight, Bernadine.
Night night all.
Night night all from me, and we will talk with you guys next week. Have a great weekend. Good night.